live. Jam that transmission. Rumble Frenzy. Ravage Rat Bat. Eject. Operation Interference.
This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to All Things Transformers.
Countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, blast off!
Hello and welcome to an all new generation of All Things Transformers as we get the origins of any and all TF fans that we can. I'm, of course, TF2 and Mike. Steve Megatron's off somewhere. He's off probably curled up in a corner with a bad case of cosmic rust. He's been sick the last week or so. Some sort of Decepticon flu or something. I don't know. Some Predacon. Yeah, I think he got it from his rubber ducky or something. I don't know. So, as I said, TF2 and Mike here. And continuing on, or kind of getting it started with this this Origins episode here. If you listen to the last ATTF, it was basically Steve and I just having a discussion. The way the Origins are going to go forward is basically myself and Steve, or sometimes just myself, asking our guest 21 Transformers questions. Why 21? Well, to steal a line from the Nostalgia Critic, when he says top 11, we just like to go one extra step further. Joining me is Optimus Solo. Hello.
I am proud to be the one that's breaking your cherry for this.
No, that's just no. Just don't even.
Oh, okay. Not that kind of show.
Stop being a Crimzeek this late at night.
Not that kind of show? Okay.
Oh,
not that kind of show. I get it.
Oh, yeah, we've been doing this for how long? But yeah, it's been a while since you've been on ATTF. It's been a while since you and I actually have talked Transformers, seeing as how we've been stuck in Eternia and Etheria hell for 5 years.
I don't know if I'd call it hell for the whole 5 years.
Oh, no, okay.
We might currently be in hell.
That's pretty much what we're doing at this point. We're trying to get that show done. And it's taken us 5 damn years. Well,
that's how long it takes to cover 4 different television series.
Yes. All right, so we're here. Are you ready to get basically be put on Optimus Prime's grill? And
man, like you said, it's been a long time since I've been able to talk Transformers with somebody, and it's my bread and butter when it comes to nostalgia, when it comes to growing up, when it comes to cartoons, when it comes to toy collecting, etc., etc. So I'm excited to talk about Transformers. It's been a while.
Yeah, before we get going here, we should mention that a week before this was recorded, on the 13th of September, Shout Factory released the 30th anniversary DVD Blu-ray edition of Transformers the Movie.
Yes.
Have you got it yet?
Not yet. I will be getting it soon.
Oh, come on! Mr. I'm all about transfer. You should have been first in line at Target to get this thing.
I work too much. I don't get to the store as much. My day is off tomorrow and the next day, so if I go to Target, I'll pick it up. It's this thing called time that keeps becoming harder and harder to come by these days.
Yeah. You know, once those wedding bells happen, you know, it'll be even less time.
Yeah.
So, for those of you who have not heard, myself and DJ Valentine had done we did a 30th anniversary commentary on the movie, but we used the 20th because the DVD was not out yet, and obviously I don't have it, and he doesn't have it. The good thing is, if you want it right now and not have the features, you can go onto iTunes and buy Transformers the Movie 30th Anniversary Edition right now. Digitally on iTunes, first time it's ever been on digital. So there's that. All right, ATTF Origins, going to grill Optimus Solo here. The first question, and this is, I know for you, this is going to be a kind of a stupid question, but I wrote these out in case a lot of people
I'll field have all questions.
Stories. Okay, well, I know. See, that's the other thing. I've been showing people, like, you're the first guest. Peacock Court Michael is going to be the next person on with Steve and I. So what I've been doing is I've been showing the people the questions so they can kind of not necessarily prepare their answers, but not be so on the spot to have to have me cut out 20 minutes of dead air while they think of an answer. So
Michael Wilson's got to follow my act. Good luck, sir.
Did you grow up with Transformers? At what age do you remember first noticing the franchise?
Man, I was born into this franchise, I swear to God. Transformers were part of my earliest memories. I was born in 1981, and like many people, or maybe just like myself, I don't remember much about when I was one or when I was two. So, you know, my earliest memories are probably from, you know, when I'm about 3 years old, which, well, that would be about 1984. Yep. You know, 1983, 1984. I had an older brother who was 10 to 11 years older than me, and he was into it. We had all kinds of, like, the pre-Transformers as well. So we had...
Yeah, we'll talk about that kind of stuff later, but go ahead and finish this.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, we had a lot of like, the stuff that came before Transformers as well. So my earliest memories are going to be kind of an amalgamation of Transformers, GoBots, you know, even, like, the toy company that was making Transformers, the things that they were making before it became actual Transformers, like, all of that stuff. So I remember, I guess, to put it, sum it up, my memories go back so far that I honestly don't remember where some of my toys even came from. I just remember always having them. Like, I just always must have had those. So I guess I base it off of what kind of shape they're in as to which ones I had first. But I don't remember getting some of them. Like, I can go back into the photo albums and find, my mom always took a picture of us with all of our Christmas toys. Or Christmas presents, I guess, as well as the one with all of my birthday presents. So I can, like, trace certain ones back to what birthday or what Christmas they came from. But some of my earliest ones, I just assume I had them from birth. I don't know. It's like, so I grew up in the G1 cartoon, and I've been around for everything since.
Many millions of years ago, on the planet Cybertron, life existed. But not life as we know it today. Intelligent robots that could think and feel inhabited the cities. They were called Autobots and Decepticons. But the brutal Decepticons were driven by a single goal, total domination. They set out to destroy the peace-loving Autobots. And a war between the forces of good and evil raged across Cybertron, devastating all in its path, draining the planet's once rich sources of energy. The Autobots, on the verge of extinction, battled valiantly to survive.
There's not enough energy in these conductors to last a Cortex.
Well, at least we found these, Wheeljack.
And when these run out?
Can't worry about that now. Hey, let's get back to Iacon.
Load up!
I bet Optimus Prime will be glad to see us.
We're nearing the bridge to Iacon. 1 mega mile to go.
Ah, home sweet home.
Uh-oh. A Decepticon welcoming committee.
Autobots, stop them!
Prime told me there'd be days like this.
And you didn't believe him?
I do now.
All right, next up. Which Transformers generation is your generation, and why?
Would you like to take a guess?
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been podcasting for 7.5-8 years. I should already know this, but again, I wrote these questions.
I want to put you on the spot. I want to see if you're right or not.
Well, it's G1, obviously.
It is G1. It's not just because it started at all. It's because, and not only because I grew up with it, it has more characters that I enjoy than any other thing that has come out since. Like, I don't necessarily need all of my cartoons to have strict episode-to-episode continuity. G1 had continuity overarching, if you go from the beginning to the end and put in the movie and the stuff that came after. Like, there is continuity there. But I don't think you have to have necessarily continuity from one episode to another in order for it to be... good. A lot of people just write off G1 as, oh, it was just a bunch of one-shot toy commercials. And I say to those people, stick your finger up your you-know-what and stop being a prude. But, I mean, there's so many characters to pick from. There's so much for any type of vehicle, any type of personality, any type of voice, any type of color scheme. There is literally something for every single person to have one, two, or three favorites, or, you know, good favorites and bad favorites, etc., etc. So, man, it's just a lot to pull from, and I think it also includes or encompasses one of the best Transformers thing that ever existed in the origin of the origins here that you did with Steve last episode on here. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that Transformers the movie is the single best G1 thing.
It's the pinnacle of the cartoon series done by
Marvel. I would go one further. I would say it's the pinnacle of anything Transformers ever. I would say not only is it the best that ever came out of G1, I still think today, it's the best single thing of Transformers we've ever gotten from any iteration.
And I'm going to say this now, and I already mentioned this before we started asking the questions. When you get that 30th anniversary, whether you get the regular DVD or the Blu-ray, whatever, whichever the one that shows
up every year, because that way I don't.
Well, I know, but I'm saying, you know, some people prefer DVD over whatever. Anyway, so it's one of those things where my good buddy Optobotomus, who we will have on here, Paul, a.k.a. Optobotomus from YouTube, he has gotten the Blu-ray, and he was showing off just photos he was taking with his iPhone off his TV. And this Blu-ray, folks, they did a 4K transfer of the original 35mm film. I can see stuff that I've never been able to see before. I get it. When the 20th anniversary came out and they had the 20th anniversary DVD from Sony Wonder had so many different things on it. It had so many different special features on it. One of the special features was a fan commentary. And the fan commentary, I forget who was actually on the fan commentary, but the fan commentary for the film on that anniversary set was basically some of those guys pointing out, oh, hey, in the battle of, you know, when they show the sky full of Autobot City, and they're like, oh, hey, there's Blitzwing. He died earlier, you know. So, I mean, I'm sure there are certain things animation-wise about Transformers the movie that may still irk people. But if you look at it in the story sense, in the whole plot sense, people say it's a 86-minute or 90-minute toy commercial. Outside of the fact that Hasbro said basically, okay, we need to introduce new toys, they still had a damn good story. The story should not be just relegated to, oh, that's just a toy commercial from the
80s. It's such a cop
out. It is.
It's also the first thing that really had, outside of like a theme song for the cartoon, I mean, it had like an altogether encompassing soundtrack that has never been matched since then, as far as the Transformers
soundtrack world. And score, not just
that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, you from the death in, you know, from the death of Transformers to the introduction of new characters to the music to the you know, being able to go to Cybertron a little bit more involved there. I mean, it's just it's everything that I had always hoped for in a cartoon that I never got to see. It was so much more real, and I just feel like it's never been matched up to this point. I don't care about a couple of animation errors. You got you know, part of your stuff being done here, part of your stuff being done across the pond, and there's going to be mm-hmm. little bits and pieces, but also just the lore behind the storyboards that never made it in, and who else was here and who else died and all this other stuff. It's just so fascinating if you're a Transformers fan to delve into some of that.
Oh yeah. Since we're talking about the movie, mm-hmm. I might as well get your thoughts on this now. Do you remember how old you were? Like, the movie came out in 86, so you would have been 5. Mm-hmm. How old were you when you actually saw the movie? Did you see it in theaters as a 5-year-old, or was it a few years later?
No, I saw it in theaters.
Okay. At what point during the battle scene did you cry? Did you cry when Megatron shot him? Or did you wait until later, until he turned gray, and cried then with Daniel?
Didn't cry, because I have no soul.
Wow. You heard it here, folks, first. Optimus Solo has no soul.
That's why, that's the solo part, because my soul is yeah. No, I'm just kidding. For me, it was almost more, I didn't smile, but it was more of a shock, I think, for me. It wasn't like I'm sad. It's I can't believe that I'm actually seeing a character die in a cartoon, because it's something you just did not see before right. that point. So it was more just like, is he dead? Is he coming back? What's going on here? So there was no tears.
Okay. What were your thoughts, and what are your thoughts now on Hot Rod / Rodimus Prime, the new leader?
You don't want to. Are you going here because you're a diehard Hot Rod fan.
Anyway, are you one of those jaded fans where it's like, oh my god, this guy is horrible, bring back Optimus already?
No. I don't fault Hot Rod for his role in the cartoon. I thought he was fine. I liked the voice work done for him, and I liked the look of him. I guess my only problem with Hot Rod is, I mean, it's his fault that Optimus Prime's dead. So that's the only Achilles heel for him, is that you kind of can blame him for being a little bit of a douchebag in that battle.
Alright. What if any other generations of Transformers do you like?
Alright, this is pretty easy. I like Beast Wars. I like Beast Machines. I like Transformers Prime. And that's about it.
That's fair. Why is Vinita minding our own business when bang! Gets whole stasis pod right up the kazooty.
This is going to be juicy.
All hail Starscream!
I can't.
Have you had a chance to check out Robots in Disguise?
I just can't get into it. It's too kiddie for me. It's just like Rescue Bots.
Well, it's a little different than Rescue Bots, but I agree. The 2D, 3D thing.
Yeah, I just haven't been able to get into that. I never could get into the Unicron trilogy. That's just too Dragon Ball Z-ish for me. And Transformers Animated is god awful. So it was Beast Wars, Beast Machines, and then a long drought until Transformers Prime.
Yeah. We're not even going to go into the animated argument.
You can see my thoughts. Go back to the Transformers Animated podcast.
Yeah, go back to Transformers.
You can hear my disdain for that pile.
Yeah. What was your very first Transformers toy as a kid? Which character?
Like I said, I'm going to have to base this strictly on which ones were beat up the most. And so I'll give you a rundown. I never remember a time in my life where my Megatron was in one piece.
We shall rise again.
Poor Megatron.
He is on my shelf over here now, still the original one that I have, and he is standing, but I don't think he's fully there.
He's got a crutch, right?
He doesn't have a crutch. He has both legs. He just doesn't have some other parts. So he is old beyond belief, so he had to be one of the first ones. I have a prowl that is not...
Utrex report. We are being followed.
Decepticons.
His upper half and bottom half are not attached.
Okay.
So he has to be super old as well. I have a Mirage that is in a similar, fell to a similar fate.
So, oh, geez.
So I'm guessing that those were three of my earliest. The next most beat up one that I have is Soundwave, but I could understand if that's just because I played with him maybe more than any of the other ones. But I don't, I remember Soundwave still being fully formed. He just, his joints got really loose because of how much I transformed him back and forth. But with Megatron, Prowl, and Mirage, I never remember a time in my life where they were not broken.
Wow.
So they had to be three of the first.
Wow. So
I
said
these things a lot.
Yeah, I can tell. You know, throw the gun at the police officer.
People don't understand, if you're not a Transformers collector or if you're not a child from the 80s, that Transformers
with our toys.
Well, and Transformers are one of the most unforgiving toy line that you could have, because you're literally trying to, first of all, the main purpose is transforming them back and forth, which is going to just naturally have wear and tear. And it's not like today where they're all ball joints, and if you turn something the wrong way, it just pops out and you pop it back in. It was all it took was the wrong person playing with your Transformers and trying to force something or bend something the wrong way, and these things were going to break.
Diecast construction, it's a lost art.
I mean, it is an art, and there is a beauty to it, but you had to be careful who you let transform your toys.
Oh, yeah. So. All right, so I told this story on the first Origins episode with Steve and I. When I was a kid, my friends and I at school during recess and even after school at our houses, we would... Essentially, it's live-action roleplay before live-action roleplay was an actual goddamn term. We would play Transformers. Like, we would actually say we're this character or that character. Did you or your friends ever do this?
I would say the chances are very high that this did happen, but I can't...
But you don't remember.
I don't have specific memories of that aspect of playing Transformers. I do. I have specific memories of playing... I had a friend that literally there was one house in between us, and we were the same age, and it just so happened that we had I don't think our parents coordinated this at all, but he had a lot of figures that I didn't have, and I had a lot of figures that he didn't have, so we would oftentimes come together in one of our basements, or even I remember even doing it outside, like using the grass and the trees and stuff like that, and set up a whole world for him. So I do remember playing with the action figures with other friends. I just don't remember specifically doing the role play, but I did it with so many other things, Turtles and Thundercats and everything else, that I couldn't imagine that I didn't do it with Transformers.
Right. All right.
Laser beak, Autobot alert.
Who is your end-all, be-all? Megatron puts a fusion cannon to your face and says, choose... Who is your end-all, be-all favorite character from any Transformers incarnation?
So hard. I mean, I obviously saw this question ahead of time, and I'm making lists of Autobots and lists of Autobots and lists of G1 and lists of Beast Wars and et cetera, et cetera. Man, that's hard. Because it's hard for me to separate. It's hard for me to separate, like, if it was because of the toy, if it was because of the cartoon, or whatnot. It's going to sound weird here, because it's not a main character, but if I had to pick, and I'm going to do one Autobot and one Decepticon.
Okay,
but,
go ahead.
If I was forced at fusion cannon point by Megatron to pick an Autobot, as weird as it is, it would be Cliffjumper.
Hound!
Right here, Prime.
Scout the area. See if you can locate the Decepticons.
Just turn me loose, Prime. I'll sniff them out.
I'm going too. I want to boot some Decepticon right in his turbocharger.
Easy, Cliffjumper. Just find them. We'll deal with them later. Good luck.
Well, he's a main character.
He is, but you don't, you know, you expect Optimus Prime or, you know, this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Cliff Jumper, for some reason, I don't know. My favorite color is not red, but it was when I was a kid.
Okay.
And, well, a small kid, and then it quickly went to, like, I think blue or something for the rest of my life. But I don't know if it was because he was red and Bumblebee was yellow, so I gravitated more towards Cliff Jumper. I don't know if it was because at some early on stage, I think I even, before I saw the cartoon, I think I even thought, like, Cliff Jumper was the guy and Bumblebee was the girl or something. I don't know. But I don't know.
Wait. How did you think
Bumblebee... I don't know if I thought that or not. I think it was maybe like a subconscious, like, one's more girly and one's more guy-like. I don't know.
Hey, everybody. This is Dan Gilbazan, voice of G1 Bumblebee, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
And it's not because of the cartoon, because he's not really utilized too much in the cartoon. And, you know, he does have the Casey Kasem voice. But something about the name Cliff Jumper and something about him, I just loved that character. For a Decepticon, it's a no-brainer. It's Soundwave 100% every day of the week.
Disclosure averted. Continue observation.
I loved the freaking voice work and the vocoder effects that they used on Soundwave. I love that he had, you know, all the different Buzzsaw, Ravage, etc. that could come out of him. I loved how he was used in the cartoon. I loved him as a toy. It was back when, you know, you knew what a cassette tape player was, even if it wasn't always 100% working in my toy collection. But but that would be probably my main two, with a real close honorable mention for Wheeljack and Prowl.
Well, hang on to your crankshaft. I'm shifting into overdrive.
They've gone underground. We'll never catch them now.
He lies. He uploaded the formula to someone. I don't know who, but I soon will. Let this human go. We seek another.
Oh, wow! Dr. Alcazar sent me the antimatter formula. I've got to keep it safe.
Stay clear, Blue Streak. My battle computer is down. I'm helpless.
My dad was a police officer, so I really liked Prowl a lot, even though, unfortunately, his toy was mostly broken for me. But and Wheeljack, he was never broken. For some reason, I never broke him through all my transforming back and forth, so I really liked those two characters as well.
All right, with Soundwave, I got a couple of follow-ups here. Number one, which is correct? Rumble is red, Frenzy is blue? Or Rumble is blue, Frenzy is red.
I've never been hung up on that.
Now, for me, the way I look at it is, I look at it in the cartoon scope. Rumble's purple, Frenzy's black.
Yeah, I always kind of viewed it as the cartoon because I never had them as a toy. So yeah. My only exposure to them was through the cartoon, so I agreed with their color scheme on the cartoon.
Okay.
Just real quick before you, I want to get in, just because... It's you and me talking.
Yeah.
First, real quick, a weird story, I guess, about the Seekers. Because they might not have been my favorite character that I mentioned, but I was obsessed with Seeker. I think it was my early on affinity for being a collection person, right, and being a completist, and that there was a series of Seekers. So I always wanted all of them. And I had, like... four of them. I never had, until adulthood, I never had Thundercracker and Skywarp. So I loved the heck out of them when it came to the cartoon, because it was the two that I didn't have, and I always loved their color scheme. But I didn't pick them, and I do want to say that I am a Springer fan, so I just wanted to throw that at you.
Nobody would listen to an uncharismatic bore like you.
Yet another follow-up question about Soundwave?
You know, if if he didn't try to be a Deuce Bigelow man, anyway, never mind. Soundwave follow-up. So if who was your favorite minion of his?
In the cartoon, it would be Rumble.
Okay.
Just because I liked seeing what he did. Man, I would say as far as the toys go, probably Ravage.
Cool.
But they were all pretty close.
Yeah.
Ravage and Laserbeak were the two that I played with the most.
Yeah. For me, out of his minions for the show, it had to be Ravage, because they did so many cool things with Ravage. Like, there was the whole episode where he got trapped and...
I just liked Rumble's weapon.
Yeah, the pile drivers.
Yeah. That always looked cool. And he had some cool one-liners, so I liked that.
Yep.
But man, there's so many characters to choose from.
Go ahead. So you mentioned Prowl and Ratchet.
Prowl and Wheeljack.
Okay.
Beachcomber, a little known one, Beachcomber. I loved him as a toy, the little dune buggy.
All I can think of is the Golden Lagoon, and everyone hates that episode.
Barbarians! Beachcomber, follow me! Beachcomber, where are you?
Oh, my, it's paradise. Well, let's see if I can learn your language. How do I say, it's a beautiful day? Oh, I guess I said something wrong. Great Maximus. Electrum.
Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of all four Masters of the Universe cartoons, Jordan Optimus Solo, and myself, TF2 and Mike, as we tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally Masters of Grayskull. We'll have a commentary on the Secret of the Sword film, and a few other special episodes. You can find this 125-episode-long podcast in iTunes and on the web at geekcastradio.com. By the power and honor of Grayskull, we all have the power.
Hurry, Skeletor, hurry!
I am hurrying, I'm hurrying!
I ordered this traitor destroyed!
I thought I'd leave the pleasure of deactivating the miserable traitor to you. Besides, he might have information about the Autobots.
Yes, we shall interrogate him. Even if it's not informative, it will be fun.
Is this you, traitor?
Ouch!
That's one thing I will say for Cyclonus. He administers a good interrogation.
It's action. It's drama. It's comedy. It's Decian, the superhero webcomic. Decian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. Read it now at Decian.com. DASIEN.com.
What happened back there?
Mighty Galvatron, what is that?
It's Starscream! Blast him!
But he's a ghost!
Die, you worthless!
Wait a minute. when do ghosts tumble out of control through space?
I did like Cyclonus out of the new characters from the movie. For some reason, I liked Cyclonus better than Galvatron, better than Scourge. And then if we're going to kind of go to some other areas.
Yeah, just what other characters from any of the generations, what are some of the other characters that you've liked over the years?
For Beast Wars, I'll just give you one each. Even though Dinobot's probably one of the most complex characters and interesting ones from that series, I'm like you, I believe. I've always been a Cheetor fan. I love Cheetor.
His evolution, I've said this for the last 7.5-8 years, his evolution from Beast Wars to Beast Machines is essentially what they did in TFTM, except TFTM, they did it in a shorter time, where he went from, you know, Hot Rod to Rodimus, except in Beast Wars, it's Cheetor the whole way through. There is no name change, there is no Matrix, there is no nothing, but his entire... And the way I've said it over the years is Cheetor in Beast Wars in the very beginning, I'd say he's anywhere between 14 to 16. By the time he gets his Transmetal 2 body, he's 17 to 19. And when he gets to Beast Machines, he's close to mid-20s. He's an adult.
Right.
So.
And I just think that, yeah, he has a ton of character arc, but I like the voice work. I like the look for him. And he was the cool one. And the non-annoying one in that group. So I like Cheetor a lot. Flipping it to the Preds, it's Tarantulas for me. I really like Tarantulas a lot.
I don't do spiders.
Well, and that's weird, too, because I don't either. But Black Arachne and Tarantulas are two of my favorite bad/independent... it's like they're not Republican or Democrat. They're just independent... I like them. As far as
they're the Gary Johnson of Transformers.
Yeah, as far as Transformers Prime goes,
what is this I sense? The taint of Primus?
I think the reason I liked Prime is because of how well done the Decepticons are. Because Bulkhead's fun in that show, but I don't necessarily gravitate towards any of the Autobots. But man, the dichotomy between Megatron and Starscream in that is awesome. So yeah. I really like the way their characters are done. Soundwave is incredible again. He's been pretty consistent over the years as being a badass. And then even Knockout from Prime is a lot of fun. So I liked what they did with the bad characters in Transformers Prime a lot.
So I know you said you're not that into, not Rescue Bots, Robots in Disguise, the new series. But I've caught up on season 2 of that show, and I've seen a preview of season 3.
Okay.
They're bringing Soundwave back out of the Shadow Zone. Nice. Yeah. And the cool thing about Transformers Prime is the dude spoke once the entire series, and all he had to say, Soundwave superior, Autobots inferior, and it was over. And the funny thing with Soundwave and Prime is when he said that, because he essentially has no face. He's a no facer. Up on the screen, there's this giant pink smiley face in his window. And I'm like, oh my God, no, they did not do that. But they did.
Yeah.
Are there any... Now, this is normally a question you would ask people. are there any Transformers characters that you hate? And I'll tell you this right now, you cannot sit here and say Rodimus from Animated, because that was cool.
I don't hate Rodimus from Animated. If I were to pick the two, I literally went through and tried to look at every single character from G1, every single character from every different show and whatnot, and it is hard to find ones I hate. There was ones I wasn't as huge on as everybody else seemed to be, but when you put the word hate out there, it's real hard. I gotta say, if I had was forced to pick one, it would be between Beast Wars Rat Trap, just because I found him very freaking annoying, and Transformers.
Plus, he killed your favorite character. Well, he kind of destroyed your favorite character in the agenda.
Yeah, I just didn't like anything about Rat Trap. Really, he's just I'm not from New York, so the accent doesn't do anything for me.
We're all gonna die. Shut up. Rat Trap.
Yeah, and he's a rat. That's no fun. And his action figure was not too great either.
Oh, no, dude.
His newer one probably is.
You said his action figure's not that great, but have you seen the Masterpiece version?
Oh, yeah, that one looks cool. But, I mean, his original ones were not.
Yeah, his original one needed some help.
But it would be tied between him.
Yo, string butt! Got a pair of belly bombs here with your name right on them. Eat them and weep.
And Prowl from Transformers Animated.
Everything okay? I mean, you want to talk?
No.
Huh. You know, you can have another room. One with a roof.
I like this room. All this organic life, this nature, it refuses to be contained. Such a force of will. But everyone here is blind to it. They all rush to see everything, but never sit still long enough to experience what is around them. Just this morning, I observed one organic creature stalk another with such grace, such stillness.
Anybody else smell fried circuitry around here? Get it? A fried circuitry? As in yours! Hello? Any butthole? What? What'd I say?
Really? You didn't like Ninja Prowl?
Not at all. That was retarded. I think you know about my feelings towards that. And especially since Prowl's one of my favorite characters from G1, I did not like what they did with him in animated at all.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So maybe number 9 and 10 are almost the same question, but they're kind of not.
Okay.
So number 9, over your lifetime as you got older, did your interest in the Transformers franchise grow stronger or get weaker?
I will give you the gamut here. I will run the gauntlet on my Transformers here. Because obviously I was humongous from birth on Transformers all the way through the movie, etc. Obviously the cartoon stops for us in the United States shortly after the movie in season 3, etc. And so there's an easy transition for a lot of people that were our age into Turtles, Thundercats, Silverhawks, and the like. So it did wane a little bit there, but I was still playing with my toys. I was still into it. I just wasn't able to watch it. I do remember, however, being probably, let's say, 1995, 96, 97, somewhere in there in the mid-90s, that I was so... I had such a desire to seek out Transformers that I actually, and this is before, you know, widespread internet. This is back in the time period when if it wasn't playing on your TV, which at the time was not 150 channels.
Or more.
Yeah, you didn't have a lot of options. And I remember over the years, even going back into like the late 80s, every time I went to a toy store, I would search for Transformers, and there would be nothing, because there was a set of years where you couldn't find anything Transformers, and I would search and find nothing. I would search and find nothing. Every time I went, I would be looking to see if there was something on clearance or if there was something somewhere. Are they going to come out with something new? Because information for us as kids back then was not out there. Like, you know, it's like video games. You had to call, you know, you had to phone into the Nintendo Power line or whatever to get news or something like that. Like,
oh, yeah.
So I don't know. It's not like today where we know a television series is coming 3 years in advance, or, you know, we have the rumors and this, that, and the other. And so I was just always hoping that I would just stumble into a toy store or, you know, a store that had toys and just stumble across Transformers, and it would alert me to the fact that there's something new happening. So I was always on the lookout. So my interest wasn't gone. I just didn't have any access to it. I do remember those searching channels and searching TV guides and looking for any way to watch Transformers, because I didn't have any way. You know, they weren't on. I had a couple videotapes that had like 6 episodes, but I wanted to revisit it. And I remember eventually catching, and I think Steve mentioned this too a little bit in his history of Transformers. I remember catching the reruns that they were showing on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
And it had a little bit of a different intro, if I remember right, or at least
that was Generation 2 with the cybernetics base.
No, I did. It wasn't Generation 2. I did not see the Generation 2 version. I saw a re-showing. It was an actual G1 Generation One, but there was just there was like a sci-fi little, like, there was something that they showed in the beginning. It was not the G2 thing, though, I guarantee that. But there was something in the introduction that would just, I didn't quite remember as being G1. Mm-hmm. And I searched that out and found it on Science Fiction Channel, and it was on at, like, I don't know, something like 6 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning or something. And that's not like what it was when we were growing up. When we were growing up and watching it live, it was on in the afternoon on weekdays, back to back with G.I. Joe. At least where I lived, you know, it was, you got home and you know, whatever it was, 3 o'clock and 3:30 or 4 o'clock and 4:30 were Transformers and G.I. Joe. So I just remember stumbling across this one morning, and then like every day as I got ready for school, then I would make sure that I could catch at least whatever. And I couldn't catch it all because I would have had to wake up super early, like 5 o'clock in the morning or whatever, because they were showing it early. But they showed a couple episodes back to back, and I'd always catch part of that then on my way to school. And I thought that was the greatest thing ever, that I could start watching these shows again. From that point, I really kind of fell off the map as far as getting into high school, playing sports, doing that type of thing. And I didn't really know, you know, there wasn't anything out there. I do remember seeing Beast Wars. I must have watched Beast Wars when it was live, but I don't have any recollection of it. But I had some of the toys, so I had to have known about it and that type of thing. But I really don't remember Beast Wars until I must have watched it a little bit later on down the road, and then it really kind of set into my memory. So I was kind of vicariously still a Transformers fan. I mean, my first license plate was Prowl on the first car I ever had. So, I mean, I was still a fan, but it was just kind of, there was nothing for me there. And then I remember in whatever year it was when the rumor started happening about a live-action movie. And it got...
2005 or 2006,
yeah. It got me super pumped up again. I remember seeing the first leaked or, you know, released, like, YouTube clip of a behind-the-scenes thing of one of the Transformers actually transforming. And I was just freaking in awe. I was like, I can't believe this is real. This is happening. And I was like, you know, messaging my friend and being like, are you seeing this? And blah, blah, blah. And so about the same time is when I joined up with TFW 2005, the website, far as getting involved in the forums. And I probably spent, I think I joined the forums in 2007, January of 2007. And I was probably a pretty active member for, I don't know, 3 years, 3 to 4 years, somewhere in there. And I got hardcore into that until the vitriol that is a lot of those members kind of turned me away from it. But, I did the Transformers tournament with, like, the March Madness style, where we did all kinds of different things there. And that was a lot of fun, got a lot of attention. But then I had some... back and forth with some of the administrators and decided that was enough for me. And then the live action movie came out, and let's just say my interest waned again, and I kind of fell off.
Yeah, we'll get your in-depth thoughts on Bayverse a little bit later. But so at this point in 2007 was kind of the point where you kind of fell off again. Were there any other points other than just high school and stuff where you
it was high school, and then not 2007, but a few years after that, you know, the movie came out, I still was doing stuff on the forums, and then kind of by the time the second movie comes out, I think I'm just like, oh, okay, that's enough of that. And then it picked back up again when Transformers Prime came out, and also when a lot more of the toy line started to be not just about the movie or the television show that was currently playing, but when they started doing things like the classics and the generations, it really got me back into the toy collecting aspect as well.
Mm. With the internet giving birth to the fans and of all having a voice about what they all like and don't like about Transformers, do you find that your voice gets lost in the shuffle at times, or do you just shout louder?
I actually took a different route, and I actually just stopped talking. Because
you went monk, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, man, forums can take up so much of your time, and being involved in not just forums, but just the internet discussion can just eat up so much of your time. And I was having a lot of fun with it for a long time, but you can only take so many closed-minded people that literally like one thing and that's it, and they can't even come close to open their mind and listen to another opinion that's not their own. And for some reason, the Transformers fandom has way too much of that. It's just like, it's my way or the highway. And because there's so many different cartoons and the movie and the live action movies and now all the video games, everybody has their favorite thing. And it just seems like it's hard for there to be any type of open communication about cross-generation stuff. So instead of just trying to shout over them and instead of being lost in the shuffle, I just kind of abandoned it all. So yeah. I talk Transformers with you guys and some of my close friends that enjoy it, and I don't necessarily need to interact with some of these people.
Yeah, for me, because I've, as I said in our first episode there, you know, because I like G1, Beast Wars, Beast Machines, Animated Prime, I'm coming around to various episodes of Rescue Bots. I've never really gotten into, or not Rescue, Robots in Disguise. I've never really gotten into Rescue Bots. I want to take time eventually to find that series eventually again, you know, when it's kind of good. That's my thing. When something that I'm not immediately into is as super popular as it gets, I have to wait until everything dies down so I can just find it myself. So, number 12, what is your personal Transformers anthem song? Example would be, obviously, Stan Bush's The Touch.
See, for me, there's the theme song, and then there's the songs from Transformers the movie, and that's about the beginning and the end for me for Transformers music. So, whether it's The Touch, or whether it's, of course, my mind's going blank right now.
Dare to Be Stupid.
No, what's the other one? Jesus. It's pretty much The Touch. I mean, there's one other song from the movie that I remember if I hear it, but it's pretty much that. I mean,
nothing's going to stand in our way.
Nothing's going to beat Stan Bush and his Transformers tunes. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. How often do you go back and rewatch any of the Transformers cartoons?
Not as much as I would like to. I did it. Man, this is how much. Okay, here's the definition of how much of a Transformers fan I am. In creating the site for, or the page for Behind the Voice Actors, the Transformers page that has, you know, an image of every single character that speaks, etc. A lot of times for those pages, you know, we capture an image of all the characters, we put them up, we tag it to the voice actor, and we're on to the next page. We created a custom field for sorting on that page, and I actually went through my DVDs and kept a spreadsheet and documented how many lines every character had in G1. So every single character that speaks in G1, I had a database sorted as to who had the most lines and who had the least lines, etc., etc. So that was a long process of rewatching them. I also rewatched them when I just got the DVD set. I rewatched all of them once. It's been a while now. I was kind of holding off because of the potential to maybe eventually watch them for podcast/whatever purposes.
Yeah.
So yeah. I've been staying clear for a little while just so that when I do, it's more of a fresh new take.
We will get to the TFG2 podcast eventually.
Yes, so
eventually.
I'm holding off until then. I can.
It might happen, you know, at the 40th anniversary.
I will tell you what I just started doing, though.
What's
which,
that?
I came across, and I know you're not a fan of it, but I came across for free, thanks to some of my online work, a copy of the Headmasters and of the Victory, the Japanese post-season 3 DVDs.
Right.
That, of course, obviously are just in subtitles with Japanese voice work. Just now, for the first time, right before we recorded, opened them. And I watched the first 2 episodes of the Headmasters series.
Yeah.
It's way better than I thought it was going to be. So it's absolutely amazing. I will bring it up again later.
If it's episode 6 or 7, you'll be heartbroken.
Well, no, there's already a bunch. There's already been deaths in the first 2 episodes, so.
No, there's a major battle between 2 rival.
No, that happens in episode 2.
What does it? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
So I've already seen that. But, I mean, it's so, it's almost like a straight continuation of the movie and some of the realness of it. I'll bring it up again, though, later on in a different light. But I was not expecting it to be as good as it is so far.
Now, I'm not sure. I don't think you're into this, so it's we might have to skip this question for you, but I'll ask it anyway. We all love Transformers comics. Which incarnation do you like and why? Now, have you ever... Did you ever get any of the Marvel stuff, or have you checked out?
I had three of the original comics back in 1983 or 84 that I still have. That were as old as the toy line is, but I have not had a chance to look into anything except for the novel, whatever you want to call them. Which aren't comics.
Exodus.
Yeah.
Retribution, yep. And
Exile or whatever.
Exodus, Exiles, and Retribution.
Yeah, that's all. That's all I've done as far as the reading goes. So I have not ventured into that world yet.
Currently, how big is your Transformers toy collection?
Well, that's a good question. Because the last time I actually counted it was probably somewhere between 5 and 10 years ago. At least 5 years ago. It was before. This last wave of classics and generations, so I haven't logged all of those yet. So my best guess is I'm somewhere around 350 to 375, somewhere in there.
I mean, I know you bought a house a while ago, but still, that house can't be that big to store all those.
They are all currently in the basement, along with over 1,000 Star Wars figures.
Oh, geez.
So, but I will say that most of that comes from a couple different things. Number one, it's literally the only thing that I probably asked for as a kid for Christmas or for birthdays or for anything like that. So I got a ton of them as a kid. So this is not me going back and rebuying them off of eBay or, you know, this, that, and the other. But just from the original... the original line, Generation 1, I probably have right about the 200 marker from Generation 1. So wow. I have somewhere between like 190 and 200 G1 toys original that I had from 1983, 84, 85, 86, whatever it might be. And then the other thing is that I worked at Target for 9 years. All right, so when I worked at Target for 9 years, it used to be where I wasn't excited because it was just, it was like toys from the Unicron trilogy.
Right.
So it was no big deal. As soon as they started with things like the alternators and the classics and the, you know, some of those things, man, I was there as they were being put on the shelf and I made sure that I got anything that I was interested in. So it kind of blossomed into those, you know, 100, 150 more toys since then. So I have only gone back on eBay to get a few that I always wanted from G1, like Thundercracker, Skywarp, and a couple things like that. But most of this is either from childhood or from my days at Target. And now, I just randomly, if I go into Target, I still go to the toy aisle every time I'm in there to check for new Star Wars or new Transformers.
Cool. All right. What is the one Transformers toy you could never part with ever?
All right. Because there's so much.
So let's say, for example, that, and may this never happen, but let's just say your basement gets flooded. What's the one toy that you'll risk life and limb?
That's why I moved down to a house that's on a hill. Because all the water will go downhill and away from me. But I thought about this, and it's going to have to be purely sentimental here. Even though they might not have been the biggest toy or the most expensive or most valuable toy.
The starters.
What's that?
The jump starters.
No, I have to go with the ones that I literally have the most memories of playing with and having a real connection to. So the two that I probably played with more than any others are the little Bumblebee and Cliffjumper. And because they don't take up much space, I feel like they would be an easy save if anything was flooding the basement. I could get those guys real quick. Outside of that, it would be my G1 Wheeljack and my G1 Optimus Prime.
Right.
I mean, my G1 Optimus Prime is the only... my G1 Optimus Prime and G1 Megatron are the only two figures that are currently in my bedroom and not in the boxes down in the basement.
Right, yeah. So Optimus is safe for now.
Yes, and he's mostly intact. His one smokestack is broken, but...
I was going to say, what's he missing a hand?
No, he's just missing one of the smokestacks on the side of him. So he's got both hands. They don't fit in super great without falling back out, and I don't have his gun fully assembled, so that's unfortunate because it's an awesome gun.
Yeah. What was the most money you ever spent on a Transformers toy item ever?
Oh, man. I did try to buy some BotCon exclusives at one point, but I don't think those cost me that much. So I'm going to say that my most expensive one is probably the commemorative Toys R Us reissue of Soundwave, possibly. I think it was like a 20th anniversary or 25th anniversary, and it was like, it wasn't Masterpiece. I've never bought any of the Masterpiece figures because I just don't want to start that chain, that domino effect, but it was one that Toys R Us had, and it's an epic, epically cool Soundwave in like the, you know, the big box, and it has a lot of detail and stuff like that. So I think that was probably around, I don't know, $100-$125, and I've very rarely spent that much on anything for toys wise.
Yeah, you mentioned BotCon. Did you ever go before it stopped?
Before it stopped, didn't they just have one last year?
They had one this year. It's the last
one.
Oh,
it was
because...
the last one.
Yeah,
I would have gone if, and there's, I guess there's a reason that it was the last one, because those fuckers were out of this world. Jesus. I wanted to go so bad. It was the perfect confluence of, or congruence of everything, because we had Frank Welker finally attending. It was in fucking Chicago, or real close to me. I think it was in Chicago, wasn't it?
This was last year. Yeah, it was at O'Hare.
Yeah, and it's like, are you freaking kidding me? It's finally within an hour and a half of where I live. Frank freaking Welker is going to be there. I've never been able to go because it's always some state far away. And so I was all pumped. My friend was all pumped. We had already, you know, marked the date on the calendar that we were going to go and made sure we weren't going to be working, you know, get tickets, all that type of stuff. And we went to get the tickets, and to do anything at that damn thing besides walk around and have no fun whatsoever except for being able to look at things from afar was so ungodly expensive. It was stupid. Yeah. Like, I mean, we could have spent $20 to just be able to walk through and see the different booths, but to do anything as far as whether it was Frank Welker, whether it was a panel, whether it was anything, was going to be like $400 or $600.
For just the Primus package and the Frank Welker event, $400 for the Primus package, which gets you entrance to all 3 days or all however many days it is, plus whatever the box set is of toys.
Right.
And then it's an extra $200 for the Frank Welker thing.
And I'm sorry, I don't have $600 to spend on something like that.
Yeah, that's a house payment right there.
So at that point, I got real sour to the whole idea of BotCon and was like, big middle finger to you fuckers for getting me excited about nothing that's even remotely feasible for most human beings.
Yeah, this year it was here in Louisville, Kentucky. It was the last one because apparently Hasbro and Funpub's license ran out. So... it was essentially the last BotCon. So coming back, it's, to my knowledge, in BotCon's entire history, it's only been to Kentucky twice, 2006 and 2016, 10 years apart. And I guess that second trip was like, yeah, Kentucky just killed us. But no,
they replaced what happened, it with something else?
Huh?
I assume there's going to be something to fill that void for all the things.
Yeah, I'm sure Hasbro's going to come up with something, but as far as Fun Publications goes, there's not going to be any more BotCon. This year's BotCon... the only thing I was interested in, because after talking to people who actually went to the convention, like, I mean, it was pretty much bare bones. Yeah. Only thing I was interested in was two things, which one I got to go to because it was a free concert outside of BotCon. It was here at 4th Street Live, which is our entertainment, downtown entertainment venue area. Right. It was Stan Bush and Vince DiCola live in concert.
Nice.
6-year-old me was just screaming all long.
As for like the other BotCon stuff, I can only take so many repainting of figures.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. The only other event that they were having that I would love to have gone to is they had, you know, last year they had Frank Welker as the golden ticket item. This year they had Judd Nelson.
Oh, okay.
So, all right. Let's see here. Do you like, loathe, or are you indifferent to the Bayverse?
Loathe. Is a nice way to put it. for someone who is so fucking excited about the Are we allowed to cuss on this one too?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
For someone that was so damn excited about the idea of Transformers on the live big screen transforming and all the special effects that looked so awesome behind the scenes. Oh man, I just don't understand what was going on there. I think Michael Bay is a fucking idiot. And I just wish he would leave Transformers alone and let somebody with some vision do something that makes sense from a story standpoint. I was more disappointed with the Transformers live action movie than I was with the Phantom Menace. How about that?
Oh my God! I think you just broke the internet.
Yeah, I think live action Transformers is more disappointing for a Transformers fan than Phantom Menace was for a Star Wars fan, and I'm one of both. But it gets a little better as you go through, because at least you can start seeing things that make sense. You can decipher the robots from one another instead of just mm-hmm. being shards of metal clashing into each other, and I don't know where they start and where they end. Just the. For as cool as it was seeing them transform, whoever did the actual design on what they would look like in a robot form, I just can't stand. I couldn't stand the toys for them. I can't stand that look. Transformers Prime is acceptable, even though it's very similar. It goes enough in the other direction that I appreciate it, because you can see certain colors and you can see it. You know, they're not just a bunch of jagged pieces of metal everywhere. But I just... I am so against the human-centricness of those films. And not that it has nothing to do with Shia LaBeouf or this person or that actor or whatever. It just, I don't need a Transformers movie that's more about humans than it is about Transformers. And I also don't need a Transformers movie that's going to create characters when the Transformers history is full of 500 characters that you could have chosen.
So you're not a fan of the Ice Cream Twins?
No, I'm not a fan of most of it. I still have hope for future projects, but man, I just think it's a letdown overall.
Yeah, it's a lost cause.
We'll see how the Last Knights do, or whatever the fuck they're called.
Oh, don't even get me started. If you could create any Transformers fiction, toy, cartoon, comic, movie, etc., what would it be, and what story would you want to tell?
I'm sure there's a lot of stories I could come up with if I really wanted to rack my brain, but the first two things that I would just like to see in general from the Transformers powers that be is, number one, I would really love to see these the Headmaster's Victory stuff redone, just to add as close as you could get to the English voice actors to it. Because I think if you watch these shows and actually got to hear English voice actors portraying the lines of these characters, it would be awesome to see.
Right.
Because it does take away a little bit when you're hearing them all. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to talk bad about the Japanese voice actors, but they all sound the fucking same. They're all the same volume. They're all the same tone. They're all the same. I can't tell the difference between when one character is talking and another. So I really have to rely on the subtitles. And I think if that was just done, it's so easy because the animation is the exact same as it was in G1. You know, it's the same type of animation. It's the same characters. They look the same. It's a continuing story. And if we could just get that with the English voice actors or somebody close to it, I think it would be awesome. As far as other things more probable, I just want to see a live action Transformers that does not have humans. Let's take it to Cybertron. Let's get just robots on robots. I would be way more in favor for a complete reboot that had all new people in charge, so we could get, you know, classic characters and a different look from the Transformers. But I would settle for the current movie verse as long as we got out of Earth and away from humans.
All right. Do you have a My Parents Got Rid of My Toys story?
I do, but it luckily does not revolve around Transformers. I guess it's a testament to how much of a Transformers fan I was that my mom knew that those, I guess, could not be touched. Because I had a lot of Transformers. I had I had a couple dozen He-Man characters, toys. I had more G.I. Joe than I did He-Man. And then I had a handful of Turtles and Silverhawks, etc. And I remember there was a garage sale. I remember that I was not there at the time of the garage sale. I remember coming home and a lot of my toys were gone. And a lot of my other toys had little price tags stuck on them everywhere, which I immediately took away from that. But none of my Transformers were out there. So she must have known that not to touch Transformers, not to touch Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. What is one piece of advice that you'd give the Transformers fans, collectors, anyone in the Transformers community?
Oh, man. First of all, if we're specifically talking about Transformers toy collectors or fans of the toys, or especially like newcomers, if you're somebody that's newer to the toy verse that you didn't grow up with G1, you know, in the 90s or 80s or whatever it was, I am a proponent of enjoying your toys. Like, yeah, it looks cool and it's worth more if you keep it in the package and all that, but unless it's something super exclusive or if it's a second copy, I guess, take your toys out and freaking play with them, display them, enjoy them instead of just keeping them in the box. As far as the Transformers community goes, I would say my advice for that community would be just to be a little bit more open-minded and understand that your opinion is just that. It's an opinion. You are entitled to it. And there's nothing wrong with you enjoying one version of Transformers better than all the rest, just like I hate Transformers Animated. But I'm not going to necessarily just crap on you all day if you like it. You're entitled to like that. You're entitled to like the Unicron Trilogy. You're entitled to like Rescue Rollout Bots and all that. But it's just like Facebook. You see something you don't like, keep scrolling. You don't need to berate people just because they like something you don't. So I guess that's my gist of that.
Yeah, there you go. Tell that to everyone who ever posts anything negative when I post something positive about Nickelback.
you're more than welcome to like Nickelback.
Yeah, I know, right? Now watch, we're going to get a million comments on this thread saying, no, Nickelback is evil. Oh, God. All right. That has been Optimus Solo's story.
I'm sticking to it. Hey, I mean, it's in my freaking name, Optimus. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. That has been Optimus Solo's story here on All Things Transformers Origins. Next time around, it's going to be Steve, Michael, Wilson, and myself.
Enjoy. Which be ready for some animated love there, guys.
Well, okay, so I'm going to say this now. I'm going to have him tell this story again, but I always this is one thing I always bring up with him. You worked at Target for 9 years.
Yes.
He lives just on the other side of Chicago, just on the Indiana side of the Illinois border kind of thing. Uh-huh. He went into Target a few years ago. This is back when the big animated stuff happened.
Right.
And the way I always bring the story up is he went into Target, went in the back, opened a bunch of boxes, and bought toys that weren't even on the shelves.
I did that when I worked at Target.
Like, stole toys from Target. He didn't steal anything, but
I did that at Target because a little known fact for most of you guys is, you know, the case goes out there and the action figures are hung on that peg and you buy a couple and then, you know, another case gets opened and the same figures get bought and eventually you have, you know, your peg verse, which is all one character or two characters or three characters. There's still boxes in the back with all the other stuff, guys, and it just never gets out there because there's no room for it, and nobody realizes that the only reason it's not selling is because it's only three characters out there. But if you go open a new case, boom, there's 12 new characters back there just waiting for somebody.
Yeah, so he's going to tell the story again, so I'm sorry, listeners, that you're hearing it twice, and I'm just kind of just jackhammering it and not really telling it properly. But basically, he went into the back of a Target and opened up all these boxes and found all these animated characters. Oh, this character, that character, this character, that, and basically just grabbed them all up and said, "Yeah, these were just laying on the bottom shelf there. They've got price tags on them. Can I buy them?" And he's like, "Sure." Bought them all. You know, you talk about having 300 and something toys. That guy has so many. He has toys that he hasn't even opened from like 7 years ago.
Oh, I actually do too. I actually have toys that are not open yet downstairs. I've bought a couple classics and generations figures that are still completely in their box.
All right, before we get out of here, we were talking about BotCon earlier. Was there ever a BotCon set that you really, really wanted? Was there ever a theme that they ever did that you absolutely wanted to have?
I have some of them. I would have to go through the what they all were to remember which ones were BotCon exclusives that I have. But so many times it was disappointing, though, because of the, like I said, the number of just repainted, we're going to call it a different name, even though it's the exact same. I mean, I know that G1 did that a lot and it was a little bit different, but it seemed to be like, it's different when you're calling it an exclusive. Like, nobody was calling the Seekers and G1 exclusives. They were just, here's six different Seekers. So I can't get excited about repaints that much. So, I mean, I just feel like 90% of the BotCon exclusives were repaints.
That's true.
But I mean, right. I don't want to discount them all because I know there have been a couple over the years that were that I did buy and a couple that I wanted to buy that were too damn expensive.
Yeah. All right, join us next time here on All Things Transformers for the origins of Pecan Corp. Michael, you can find HETF on Twitter. It's All Things TFV3. I am at TFG1Mike. You can follow at Geekcast Radio for all the other network updates. What is your Twitter handle?
It's at Optimus Solo.
All right, transform and roll out, transform and transcend, and we will catch you next time here on All Things Transformers Origins.
Respect my authority.